Today on the Game Boys podcast, we've got our good friend Neely here as a guest. Game Boys are going to a convention, and there's a big Super Smash Brothers character leak, plus more. Check it out. Hey guys, welcome back for another episode of the Game Boys podcast as I immediately hit the mic a goof. I'm here with my old pal, my co-host, my number two in command, Michael Neely.
Hi. I am the new Game Boy.
And I guess Bowman's here too.
Hey everybody, I'm a special guest today.
We got a good one for you. We got some news. We've got a guest character. He's it's a Make-A-Wish Foundation.
Yeah.
Wish fulfillment. So
I didn't know how professional you guys were. Wow.
Really?
Yeah, I thought you were just two schmoes in a room with some like garbage microphones. I just can't believe. Wow.
Thank you. Thank you.
Finally here.
You made it.
Well, your wish has been granted, so...
now they get to kill me.
Yeah. They're going to put you down soon.
Yeah.
Well, Bowman, how have you been?
Pat, I'm great, man.
Yeah, what's going on in Snackland?
Plenty of snacks to be had. A beautiful ceremony that you and I and Neely were also in attendance for. That was good.
Yes, that is why our friend Michael here is in town.
Yeah, it was a great wedding.
Beautiful wedding. I loved it.
It was okay. Open
bar.
Ooh, it was.
That was good.
Very good bartenders.
Yeah, really good.
They were worth the money.
Yeah, sure. Well, I didn't pay them a dime, but.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So, they were great. Yeah.
Old fashions were a little bit watered down for my taste, honestly, but that's okay.
Gin and tonics.
Too much ice.
Gin and tonics were on point. They knew how to pour that tonic and gin in the same,
nice.
In the same cup.
You know, I didn't know that I didn't know that tonic was different than...
Soda water?
Yeah, so
yeah,
like this whole time I thought it was just a different term for soda water. It turns out it's like...
It's very different.
Basically like slightly less flavored Sprite. It's like got a lot of like sugar and shit in it.
Yeah. I'm more of a fan of gin and soda, but...
Well, see, so I don't really like gin that much, so I'm thinking to myself, like, gin and tonic, I'm like, I won't like that because it's just gin mixed with water.
Right.
But, no, it turns out it's, like, got sugar in it. So, yeah, beautiful wedding. I was the best man. I was the number two. I was the third most important person at the wedding, as far as I'm concerned.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
You really hit it out of the park.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was practically like I was getting married.
Well done.
Yeah.
Really.
They really got lucky with the weather situation. That was awesome.
Right.
Although, in Florida, and for whatever reason, even though it was beautiful outside throughout the entire night, as soon as it got around like 11 o'clock, it just got unbelievably humid.
Yeah, which is strange because it got hotter as it got darker, which just didn't make any sense.
It's like HBO.
HBO, yeah. So, whoa boy. So, what do you guys...
Is that you again?
That's me. What do you guys... So, what do you guys been playing?
I'm still playing Valhalla right now, so to you, Neely.
Neely, what have you been playing
let's
recently?
See. What have I? I've been playing A Hat in Time, which is like a 3D platformer.
I plan on playing that next, actually.
It came out last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's really good. It's a lot better than most indie 3D
Well,
platformers.
We got Indie Game Man right here, so.
I already have that purchase on my PS4. I can't wait to play it.
It is a good one.
They came out with the DLC recently.
Yes.
As well. Yeah.
That's why I bought it, actually, because I knew the DLC was coming.
I've just been trained to think when I think indie platform, indie now, I just automatically assumed it was a 2D Metroidvania.
No, it's an actual 3D platformer, and some people argue. You know, there's always going to be that edgy guy who's going to say it's better than Odyssey. But
I wouldn't say that.
But
I don't even own Odyssey.
But it most definitely looks to be better than Yooka-Laylee.
Oh, yeah. I never played Yooka-Laylee, so I don't have any direct comparisons. But it is very well made.
Yeah.
Yeah, the time I spent with Yooka-Laylee, I was very underwhelmed. And
did you play it?
I played a little bit of it, and then I watched our friend Cody play it for like an hour or two, and it was just like, this looks boring and also kind of annoying because of all the dumb characters that are always like yapping at you, but they're not actually saying anything. They're just like, yeah, exactly, nonstop. Like, it's not good.
They even make fun of themselves at one point for doing that. I will actually check out Yooka-Laylee at one point just to see what the fuss is about.
I won't.
But it's like on sale right now. On Fanatical, they have like a sale right now where it's like $5 and you get like a giant bundle and it includes Yooka-Laylee, I'm pretty sure.
Right. Well, while we're on the topic of Yooka-Laylee.
I think that was me that time.
Yeah, well, cut it up. While we're on the topic of Yooka-Laylee, I guess we'll get into our first news topic, which is, why don't you lead us off here, Bowman?
So this kind of leaked out. Sort of. So the co-owner of Limited Run Games responded to it. Well, he's been calling me about this for a long time. Josh, I think his last name is Fairhurst, I believe.
Something like that. Josh Fairhurst. He's not the emo guy.
No. So he did discuss the possibility that Best Buy was looking into purchasing a large amount of Yooka-Laylee games so they could distribute them on their own as well. So they were kind of open and honest about this in the beginning. Like, I defend Limited Run when it calls for it, and I also don't defend them criticize them when it calls for it. So they call this out, and someone asked them directly about this recently on a tweet, and he responded to it that at some point it looks like Best Buy will be selling these games, and then NintendoLife.com, I believe, released an article basically confirming everything, and it pissed off a whole lot of people because it wasn't like a lot of real information about it. It made it seem like that Limited Run was basically just turning into a mass distributor with Best Buy, which is completely against their business model.
Well, not really. I mean, it's against their business model now, but it's not against their philosophy. What it's against is shithead collectors who want that exclusivity so they can have something to hang over other collectors and be like, oh, you didn't get this rare game that only had 1,000 copies? Well, wow. I did.
Yeah.
So, because that's why they're upset about it. But for Limited Run, it's not against, in my mind, it's not against their philosophy at all to distribute with Best Buy. In fact, it's a step in the right direction because really what they started as is we want these indie games that didn't get a physical release to be cataloged and have a backup, essentially, like a be preserved while also having a physical release of it. It was never it was limited because they were two guys in their garage. That's why it's a Limited Run, because they can't afford, and it's not practical to make 100,000 copies of Golf Story or whatever.
Right.
But to start selling them at Best Buy and stuff, to me, that's a step in the right direction because we now, I mean, these games should be available in mass quantities if people want them.
Well, I guess the argument that's being made against them is that typically when their business model has always been that whenever they release a game, that is the one time it's being released. If you don't get it, it's not available again. That is a big part of their model. I know that the origins of it was to preserve, but as part of that model, it's like literally in their like mission statement on their website that once a game comes out, it will not be available again.
Right.
And that's what people are pissed off about, which I agree with you. It's just silly. But at the same time, they went ahead and put out an email clarifying everything about
what happened. Say?
So the email basically just stated that, yes, that there is a confirmed that Yooka-Laylee and also Golf Story will be available at Best Buy at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And how this worked is that Best Buy, just like any other customer would, bought and got a deal with them and bought a large amount and plan on distributing them. You're not going to walk into your Best Buy and there's going to be just a whole shelf dedicated to what these Limited Run games. So it's going to be maybe a handful of copies in every store.
Yeah.
It's going to be like the what game did GameStop release? Duke Nukem.
Song of the Deep was
Talk into the mic.
Talk into the mic.
I don't want to. The game was Song of the Deep.
Of the Deep. I'm talking about the.
There's been several, really.
Yeah, but the one that came out on Switch, the Western shooting game, you like it a lot.
Wild Arms.
Like Wild Arms.
Or Wild Guns.
Wild Guns, rather. There's only like two copies of that game made available at GameStop per stores.
Yeah.
So they're still limited. And what they're also going to do is there will be an exclusive cover art for Best Buy. So people who bought it online, they're still getting like an exclusive version of that game. But they're even counteracting people who are going to respond with, "Well, that's bullshit. I want the
right."
The,
so now
the alternate.
Now all the collectors with crippling OCD and a void of reason to live are gonna now go bankrupt because they have to get.
Hey, you gotta hand it to Libidron because they know how to. They know exactly their audience because they already even responded with in the email address that already and said you can buy our, the alternate cover art for a dollar and we'll ship it to
from
you
from their website.
Yes,
that's great.
Yeah. So if you want the alternate cover art, there you go.
It's that's yours. A good sign to me that they're not being greedy.
No,
fucks.
They listen to their fans, and I think at times they get a little bit because they're very open on their Twitter.
They're not greedy. That's the one thing that I can criticize. I've criticized them before, mostly just because I think it's a matter of people who aren't natural businessmen running a business.
That's what I mean.
That's my biggest concern.
I just think they need to. They recently, I follow them way too much, but I know that they recently hired a brand new PR person, and I hope this girl who stepped in and got this job is going to be like, all right, first things first, stop posting on Twitter.
Yeah.
Or at least stop posting things about the business on Twitter because you guys overreact a lot.
Yeah.
And this is what causes problems.
So that's my biggest complaints are that they're just kind of at times unbusinesslike or that they're not as coordinated or as prepared as they should be. But aside from that, one thing that I will give them is it's very clear that they're not greedy and they're not just trying to, like, fuck people into buying it. Because they could have easily not sold the alternate covers and things like that and just been like, well, just buy another copy.
They're only available at Best Buy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. That's I'll get rid of all the rest of the information first. So other than that, they also said there's going to be one – so it'll be Yooka-Laylee, Golf Story, and one undisclosed, unannounced game. But they did say that from now on, if there will ever be a Best Buy opportunity to buy these games, they will put it in the – when the game comes out.
That's nice.
Just so you know, this game will also be available from Best Buy.
That's nice.
So they are addressing that as best as they can. And like you said, they're not greedy because, I mean – they really are in this to preserve games. They are clearly fans of game preservation.
It's good prices, too.
Like, yeah.
They could be charging more. I've gotten games from them as cheap as $25.
Yeah, for sure. They usually only charge $10 above the digital price, so that way the person who made the game still gets some sort of profit from it. And they're also releasing that Wii U game, which they've already said that they basically are like
they're gonna lose a ton of money
on that game. So, and it's just they're still going through with it.
Yeah,
because they wanted to preserve the game. So, I don't know. What do you think of these? Like the future of limited run. I personally think that they should seriously consider. I don't know how many people they'll piss off, but in my opinion, I think it's a small margin of people who are really pissed off about this stuff. Is that they really should think about doing another brand? I think eventually they're gonna end up branching off into like a separate company.
Maybe. I don't know.
And then maybe keep the limited run as a separate brand.
What about you, Michael? Like, you don't really – you haven't ever bought anything from them?
Nope.
Is this something that interests you? Like, would you go and buy their games at Best Buy if you saw, like, an indie game that
– I don't know. It certainly makes the games more accessible.
Yeah.
Because not everyone can go online to buy such. So
right.
And most people can go to a Best Buy.
But is it something that you would you buy like an indie game if you could get it cheaper on your digitally or whatever? Like, is that something that interests you?
If I could get it cheaper than digital, yes. Absolutely.
No, cheaper than the physical version.
Oh, no. No, wait, I misunderstood.
Are you going to go for...
Would you buy a physical indie game? Would you pay a little bit extra if you go to Best Buy and get a... Obviously, we were just talking about how this game kind of sucks, but, like, for instance, like a Yooka-Laylee, would you pay extra at Best Buy and get, like, a physical copy instead of...
Digital.
Not for that game, no. But I would like a physical copy of Golf Story. I do like that game.
Okay. So there is a market there for people. Well, because here's the thing is that, yeah, like you were saying, their strategy and the way that they sell stuff is not conducive to most people. Like, their games sell – it's one of those things where the games sell out in, like, 5 minutes. And unfortunately, that's becoming more and more common.
Yeah.
As time goes on.
They at least do have a lot of pre-orders, though, for, like, highly anticipated releases and stuff. And all the Switch games, every single Switch game is a pre-order.
Well, that's great. Yeah. That I really like, and it gives me more time to dwell on whether or not I want them.
That's why I got Golf Story. I picked it up at the last second.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is good news in my opinion. I think they should do more of this, because who gives a shit? Like, if you make a partnership with Walmart, and that way you're taking a lot of the risk off of yourself. Walmart says, yeah, we'll buy 3,000 copies or whatever, and it's just like, okay, well, then fuck Walmart. If they sell them, they sell them, and if they don't, then too bad.
Yeah.
Their responsibility. Yeah, exactly.
I don't foresee a company like Walmart doing it. I think that Best Buy is just in a position where they're trying their best to get any type of, like, hey, we got this, because Amazon is destroying them right now.
Well,
because
the goal is to get people in the door.
Exactly. And the thing is, I think Best Buy is, like, one of the few big companies right now that's willing to put out concessions for companies like this, because the reason a lot of these big – these indie games don't get published like this is because – that there's no profit to be seen, because these big companies, they want the biggest piece of pie, and it's not worth it for the developers at the end of the day, for these niche titles.
This is becoming more and more common too. I don't know if you've heard about this or seen this, but Target now has a little tiny section dedicated to the NECA toys.
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah, is that like the cats?
No. That's that company that makes the really high quality action figures and like movie tie-in toys.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Like,
yeah.
For instance,
that's right. You want a
the
few of
fucking
those.
Figure that's at your house of the Jason that plays the NES theme.
Yes.
Yeah, that. So that company.
He's acting like it's my figure. It's not mine. I don't pay attention. Do you see all that crap in that house thing? I pay attention to every single one of them.
You were the one who pointed out and went, look at this.
Well, I think it's cool. I don't know anything about action figures. I don't care about
you
action figures.
You didn't research the company after you saw that figure?
No.
Yeah.
Why not?
Because I don't want figures at this point.
Yeah. Well, they are coming out with a set that I really want soon. It's a Alien vs. Predator arcade game.
Oh, wow.
Action figure set.
That's weird to see anything released
exactly.
Under that.
That's why I'm like, I kind of want this really
well, hopefully,
badly.
Hopefully that means a port will happen eventually. Maybe.
You know, it is like Capcom's like number one requested game for them to do. Or at least it was years ago. I read an interview and the guy and one of the Capcom PR people were like, it was a question. It was a Q&A and they said, what's your most requested game, and he instantly just like Alien vs. Predator.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Why is it not Mega Man Legends 3?
Yeah, well, that might have been before then. I think it was what's your most requested game to like re-release.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not that surprised. It is widely considered by a lot of people to be one of, if not the best beat 'em up ever. So, yeah. Anyway, all right. Well. Limited run, Best Buy. I can't wait to camp out all night to save $4 on shipping.
Hell yeah.
All right, so this is something that we normally don't do. Talk about leaks, you know, speculative leaks. But I thought this one was really interesting. I don't know if you saw this article. Smash Brothers leak, character leak. And normally we don't do this because almost all Smash Brothers character leaks are fake. But there's been a lot of attention around this one, a lot of digging, because basically what happened is somebody online posted images of marketing material. And so it wasn't just like screenshots or like a picture of a computer monitor. And it wasn't just like a printout or something like that. And it wasn't like a Photoshop of a character in an image. It was like a vinyl or like acrylic like banner that would go at Best Buy or GameStop, and it had a list of characters that are coming out on there, and they were all pretty interesting. About half of them were expected and about half of them were super weird. We got Isaac from Golden Sun, Ken from Street Fighter, the music kids from Rhythm Heaven, Mach Rider, which is weird, and Shadow the Hedgehog,
Banjo
which is expected.
Kazooie.
Banjo Kazooie, Shadow the Hedgehog pretty much has been heavily rumored, and so has Ken, for a while now. But anyway, so there, it was marketing material.
We forgot Gino.
And Gino from Mario RPG. Gino!
Gino! Gino!
Yeah, so it's like marketing material. It's just a banner that has all the characters on it. And the reason why people are convinced that it's real now is because people did some digging, and like also seen in the picture is promotional material from the Grinch movie that's coming out. And it's stuff that hasn't been shown before in like trailers and whatnot. So basically it's like somebody who's doing the graphic design work for both the Grinch and Smash Brothers or whatever. And they just like, somebody took a picture of their like work desk, basically.
It seems more plausible with how soon the game's coming out.
Well, not only that, but just the article that I read was like, the amount of work that it would have had to go into making this fake leak, like with the Grinch promotional material and everything, like either this person's completely fucking insane or they're a genius. Like, it's just so much effort to go into a blurry picture where you can't even really see the characters in question. The one thing that I really doubt is that they would that it's a mock rider. I think maybe someone just saw a picture of a blurry guy on a motorcycle. I think it's far more likely that it's like an Excitebike character.
I love that. That was true.
Well, because nobody knows what Mach Rider is.
I have no idea what Mach Rider is.
It's a like an original. It's like that original Black Box game where you're on the motorcycle.
Or oh, whatever. Yes.
It sucks.
I was thinking of Kamen Rider.
Kamen Rider?
Yes.
I don't know what that is.
It's like an anime.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay, yeah. So, any comments, concerns, questions about the leak? Are you excited about any of these?
I mean, Gino. I've wanted Gino for a long time too, and okay. Gino's been highly requested from the fans. I think he won like second place and like in a.
They made the voting. Me costume.
Yeah, they at least made that gesture to the fans who voted for him, and I wanted him for a long time. I'm a big fan of the Super Mario RPG series, so.
I'm a little concerned that a Banjo-Kazooie is just going to be a Echo character of Duck Hunt.
I mean, yeah, that's a possibility. I think he's so far different, though, that I don't know.
Is he?
Well, one of them's a bear and one of them's a dog.
Yeah.
Exactly. So you could just reskin it to be a bear being carried around by a bird.
Sure.
I think if...
But that would be an odd Echo character.
I think it would be borderline, like, really disrespectful to Rare if they did that.
Yeah,
because I'm sure they had to go through a lot of hoops to make this happen.
Yeah. Well, I was saying I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of people want their characters in Smash Brothers. Like, Michael immediately was like, I don't know if I believe that leak because Microsoft owns Banjo-Kazooie, and I'm like, no, trust me, everyone wants their characters in Smash Brothers. Like, games sell more copies when they're in Smash Brothers. That's basically how the American popularity of Fire Emblem and Earthbound came about.
Yeah.
Was Smash Brothers. So, I don't think it's far-fetched that they want their character in Smash Brothers, but yeah, I think it'll be interesting. I really hope it's an Excitebike character, not a Mach Rider.
Just to come out of Nintendo's Microsoft relationship, I think that they have more of a...
They really like each other.
They like each other now, and you can see that they had a whole marketing venture they went through together when they talked about cross-platforming.
Yeah.
Or cross-play. Yeah, like that was a big ad where I never thought I'd see a Microsoft Xbox controller and Nintendo controller in the same advertisement.
Yeah, and they're always like complimenting each other on Twitter and stuff like that.
Yeah, and Nintendo's like dumb, and they always just go, "We don't see Microsoft and Sony as competition,
right.
Anyway."
Well, and I remember when the Switch came out, the president of Microsoft like went on Twitter to like congratulate them on like a successful launch and stuff. So yeah, they have a good working relationship. I don't think you're ever going to see, you know, Microsoft game on Xbox, I mean, on Nintendo or platform or whatever, unless one of them goes third party. But, yeah, so interesting stuff. This is something that kind of on the tail end of what we were talking about last week. It's funny that this got announced. They announced there's a Kickstarter for a Intellivision FPGA console now, right after the announcement of that Sega analog console.
What's this project called? Do you know?
It's an Intellivision thing.
It's an Intellivision thing?
It's Intellivision and FPGA console. So it's like the Sega console that we were talking about last week, where it's like a hardware recreation of Intellivision. I don't remember how much it costs. You're pulling it up now, but it's just another step in the right direction, I think, for what we were talking about last week, game preservation. However, depending on what you're about to tell me the price is,
I don't even know if I can find it here.
Yeah. So, is this even something that's slightly on your
radar? It's not even, radar? It's not even a blip. Even in my collecting days, it wouldn't even be the peak of my retro collecting, I wouldn't even consider it.
Yeah. I mean, Intellivision does
have... It's a very niche audience.
Yeah. Well, they chose a poor time... They had poor timing, too, of when to announce it, because the analog Sega console was just announced. What about you, Michael? Where are you at on an Intellivision repro console?
You big Intellivision
Zero
collector?
Interest whatsoever.
Interest whatsoever.
It's cool. It's just, like Pat said, where a lot of these consoles are, like, flooding the market. And every other month there's another Kickstarter launch for another console remake. And I'm glad that more high-quality ones are being pushed for, but I don't really see a huge demand for the Intellivision necessarily. Yeah. It's got an audience, but it's a really – because you have your audience of retro gamers. Then you have your audience of retro gamers who really care about, like, an HD output console.
Mm-hmm. And then
you have – in there somewhere, I don't even know.
Someone who wants the
Intellivision.
Yeah,
I would even. I can even. The only smaller niche audience I can even think of is maybe the Neo Geo audience.
Yeah,
because it's such a high.
Because they'll pay money on.
Well, right, because they're rich, basically.
All
right,
3 seconds, Michael. Favorite Intellivision game.
I don't know any Intellivision games.
What are exclusive Intellivision games?
Shark.
What?
Intellivision football.
Okay.
Intellivision baseball?
Yeah. Now you're getting it.
Hockey?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it is a good sign, though, for game preservation. It's good to know that in 50 years... I'll be able to wind down and play some HDMI and television in my rocking chair.
Thank God.
So, I thought it was worth noting, though, because it's kind of funny, because we literally just spent, like, a long period of time talking about the remakes of these consoles, and then sure enough, the
MGSG.
The Mega SG.
Yeah, the Mega SG.
Did you end up looking at pictures of that thing?
It's sexy.
Sexy as hell. Yeah. I'd love to stick my penis in that AC jack.
That Japanese model looks really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. They get the white one, too.
Yeah, they have the tighter AC jack in the Japanese model. Smaller form factor.
I didn't plan on having sex with
more
mine.
More petite.
Why not?
I plan on... I would play it, but...
What? Okay.
That's the approach
I
took.
You can do both.
I mean, we'll be playing. We'll be playing. All right, so we got a big Game Boys announcement here.
Ooh, what's the news, Pat?
We, the Game Boys, are going as the press to the Gaming and Comic Expo at the Miami Airport Convention Center.
Woo!
We're going to an event. We're going
to
be covering
the
event. We're going to be covering the event. And Bowman, why don't you do us a favor while I'm talking about it? Pull up the old guest list for the event on your phone. We've got a new best friend too. His name's William Shatner. He hit me up on the old Twitter when I told him I was coming, and I said I wanted a interview, and he said, "Can't wait."
Jeez.
So
something along those lines, I guess.
Yeah.
All right. So we got a special guest, William Shatner. Miles, I'm gonna have to pronounce some of the
just,
names
and,
wrong here.
Just announce some of what they're in because I
yeah.
No, just announce the important ones. I don't because there's a lot of them and
we got such stars from Game of Thrones, We got
the guy who plays Hodor.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Sweet. I love Hodor.
Yeah, the guy who plays Hodor is
going to
be there.
Old Mick Foley will be there.
Yeah, the wrestling boy.
Yeah.
Finally.
I've met him a few times.
Ooh, Anna Hutchinson's going to be there from Cabin in the Woods.
Oh, she a looker?
She is a looker. I love. She got the power eyebrows that I'm a fan of.
Then I'm definitely going to get me one of those interviews with her.
And those eyebrows.
And we got Roger Rabbit.
We got Danny Trejo. Danny Trejo is going to be there.
Oh, machete.
Yeah.
We got a bunch of anime voice actors. So that's pretty neat. From a couple stars from My Hero Academia.
Nice.
I don't watch the dub, but they do a good job. And then we got such pro gamers as Fortnite gamer Myth, and also another prominent Twitch
gamer. He's a Fortnite guy, yeah.
Hamlins,
but Myth is the big fish, all right? Yeah. We're going to our biggest concern is getting an interview with Myth. We're going to be there in our press hats with our press passes, and we're going to say, Myth, sit down. We got to hear how you build those forts so good.
Those fort knights.
Mm-hmm. And he's going to tell us. So if you want to know the secret to being number one in Fortnite, tune in for that episode.
If you have his hotel information, just pass it along to us.
Right, his phone number maybe.
We'll knock on his door.
Here's a big one that I'm interested in. And my phone done goofed and I lost the...
What were you looking at?
We'll cut this in editing.
That's good.
Beep, boop, bop. I don't care about William Shatner because he was a mean man to me.
But if you if you're listening, William, and you still want to interview with us, pal.
But now we like you if you want to interview.
We love you if you want to interview with us.
If you want to sit down with us, tell us a little bit about your life story. We love you. But if you're still talking that same shit you were talking on Twitter, boy, I'll bust your 80-something ass up.
I love your rendition of the Rocket Man.
Okay, Monica Rial, she does the voice for Bulma.
Yeah, I did see that.
Who's cool. My personal first real crush and love.
And she's been the voice actress for Bulma since the beginning?
You know what? I think they replaced her, actually. I think she's the newer Bulma voice actor.
Gotcha.
For Dragon Ball Super in the movies and stuff like that. But that's okay. I'll still be willing to interview her. I guess I'll take second string Bulma over no Bulma.
In all seriousness, thank you, Gamer Comic Expo, for letting us come out. We're excited to have our own first convention. We're just two shitheads in a room recording a podcast, and we're really excited. So
yeah, we got a lot of Florida listeners. So the idea was for me, I mean, most of our listeners come from Florida, mm-hmm. or the Florida area. So hopefully, if you guys are in the Miami area and you want to be graced by the Game Boys presence, come out to Gamer Comic Expo. And the idea is that we're going to do a big special on it and talk about our experiences, do some interviews, and hopefully you guys will listen and enjoy yourselves and you'll come by next year. So
for sure,
it's an exciting thing for us. This is our first event. All right, we've been doing this for not even a year yet, mm-hmm. and we never would have expected to already be basically the number one podcast in the world and getting invited to these events. So top of the charts. Papa Don loves us. He's tweeting about us all the time. The White House had to confiscate his phone actually because he was listening to the Game Boys over and over and over again. That he done goofed up his phone. The Joint Chiefs couldn't get a hold of him anymore, and they had to take it away from him, give him one of those senior citizen dumb phones. So, we're honored. Really, we are. On that note, you got anything else for us, Bowman? Because I got one other topic here.
Shoot your topic away.
That's it. Got nothing.
I got nothing.
Michael,
what
do you want to talk about? What's your topic of the day?
Why is Florida so flat? It has bothered me for years how Florida has no hills whatsoever.
I don't know. Ask Bill Nye the Science Guy. On that note, here's a question here's a topic that I thought would be fun to talk about here. We already talked, for whatever reason, my first instinct was like, what was your favorite scary game? But we already did that, mm-hmm. and then we did movie. So I'm going to do a little bit of a twist, not really Halloween theme, but it is spooky. What was the absolute worst game that you ever got as a kid? Like, before, like, you know, internet, and there was reviews all over the place. Like, what's the worst game that you ever got where you were, like, open it Christmas morning, or whatever, like, oh, boy! And then you open it, you put it in, and it's absolute trash.
The GameCom.
Entire system.
Yes. I got that. I mean, am I going to sit here and tell you that I, like, wasn't excited? No. But because I got a brand new handheld console.
Uh-huh.
But that it was just complete trash.
How long from when you opened it up to when you realized how bad it was?
I guess not that long, because I didn't play it that long.
Yeah.
I had the Lost World for it. I had, what was that? There used to be this game, like, electronic can get, and it just had a bunch of buttons on it, and you would, like, connect them and stuff. And, like, it was literally, like, I don't even remember what it's called, like, some kind of connect the dots game. And it had a digital version of that, like a port of that in the console. Mm. It was neat that it was touchscreen, because that was the first time.
Yeah.
I held a handheld that had touchscreen capabilities, had a stylus and everything.
Yeah.
But the console was absolute trash. I remember just, this is cool. Why do I have this?
Yeah. Had the internet, bro. You could send emails.
Yeah, you can connect a phone line to it and send emails. I did a lot of emails that way.
That's a real handheld portable system. You can connect a phone line to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, at least I had the option, I guess.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so that was an absolute piece of
garbage. But what about a game? Because if we're going consoles, then mine's too easy. I already know what I'm going
for.
Well,
let's just go for worst console right now.
Okay. If we're talking like GameCom, then I guess I'll one up you there. I had the R Zone.
Oh god, I knew where this is going. Yeah.
I had the R Zone. And for those of you who don't know what the R Zone is.
Does that even count as a console?
If the GameCom counts as a console, the R Zone counts as a console. It had cartridges that you put into it.
Loosely.
So the R Zone, for those who don't know, do you know what the R Zone is, Michael?
No idea. What is
Okay, so it was made by Tiger. So, like, the Tiger
handheld. GameCom was also made by Tiger.
Yes, I know.
Wow.
It was a console that had, like, a cartridge slot. You know how the Tiger handheld games were, like, shitty, like, crystal displays where they would just, it was like a digital watch that there was already pre-rendered graphics and it would just light them up. It was like a slideshow, basically.
Yeah,
like
a game watch and calculator, basically.
That's what these were, except since they were interchangeable cartridges, each cartridge was just a see-through film with the dotted lines printed on them, and you would plug it in, and then the light coming through the console would light up those see-through images. So it was basically like a cartridge version of the Tiger Electronic handheld games.
Have you ever wanted to put these games into one eye?
Yeah, so essentially, I think it was came around the same time as the Virtual Boy.
Yeah.
And it looks actually very similar to Virtual Boy, like same color scheme
and
everything. And
everything.
And you put it over, so you put it straps onto your head, and there's one plastic reflective thing that goes over one of your eyes.
Like a Dragon Ball Z scanner?
Yes.
Yes.
And it bounces the image off of the helmet that you're wearing, onto the reflective glass, and you play it like that.
Wow.
It's really hard to describe, but here's the real kicker, okay? So you thought the R Zone was bad. This is why it's my worst console ever. I'm gonna one up even the R Zone here, okay? Because as a kid, you're like, well, at least it's pretty neat and it's like a VR helmet type thing. Oh no, I had the poor version of the R Zone. They had a handheld only one that was literally just like it was a handheld R Zone. There was no helmet or anything. So that's what I had. And obviously it was trash.
Beautiful.
And so what about you, Michael? You got any like console stories like that?
Or even game stories?
I had a game story. I don't know if it's time to do games. I don't have any console stories.
Go for it.
Because luckily my parents didn't just buy game consoles that often, unless I specifically asked for them. The games, though, I got Mighty Max for the Super Nintendo. Wow. Thanks. Thanks for that.
How quickly did you realize it was bad? When you opened it, or would you play it?
After I played it, I played it for like 10 minutes.
Oof.
And then, you know, I just...
Wow, that quick. I mean, as a kid... Christmas gift, or...
Christmas, yes.
As a kid, I even gave like the worst games a chance for a little bit.
It wasn't worth it.
Now, was this something that you specifically asked for, or was it just that your parents knew you liked Mighty Max, so they figured they'd take a shot at it?
I asked for this.
So you did it to yourself.
It's my own fault, really.
Okay. Yeah, that's not a good game.
Yeah, no, it isn't.
All right, Bowman. Know. What's your worst game?
I can't even think of one, man.
Just pick one that you got that was just like, oh, okay, well, I can't. I don't know what I'm doing.
You have to go with yours. I'm still trying to think.
Okay.
It's really hard for me to talk about this because you know how many trash games I got. So
just pick one that you got that you were like almost instantly like, this is not good.
Yeah, I can think of one. I might get some flack for this since I like full motion video games, but I remember getting Sewer Shark.
Ugh.
And I remember just, I liked full motion video games too. Like, I was a huge Double Switch fan, big Night Trap fan. And even some of the stupid ones I would even humor for a while. That one was just complete garbage, like just unplayable. And I actually had the 32X Sega CD version. And
okay.
I just remember what a pain in the ass it was to even get it to run. And then when it ran, I just remember just dying really quickly and not even knowing what was going on. And I knew like pretty much immediately that it was a terrible game when I put it in.
I have one Sega CD 32X game. It's Corpse Killer, given to me by you, I believe.
You know what? I'm not even talking about Sewer Shark. I was thinking of Corpse Killer.
Oh, okay.
So, yes, I'm sorry. Not Sewer Shark.
Yeah, actually, you know what? Now that you mentioned it, I don't think there is a 32X CD.
No, like, I'm not thinking of Sewer Shark.
Sewer Shark sucks too, so.
Yeah, but Corpse Killer was the one I was thinking of where it was like trying to be a shooter full motion video game and it was just bad.
We'll fix that in editing.
No, that's fine. Because I'm perfectly fine with mixing up these full motion video games because they did just kind of all blur together at certain points.
My game probably, I would say like a game that I, early on that I got that was just like, this game is awful, but I liked it. It's just, I thought, here's the thing with when you're a little kid, you're not able to discern whether you just are really bad at the game because you're a kid mm-hmm. or if it's awful. And this is a game I realized later on in life that I'm like, oh, that game was just really awful and that's why I couldn't get like anywhere in it. And that was Temple of Doom on NES.
Oh boy.
With the minecarts.
Yeah.
I played that a lot, and by played it I mean I kept trying to play it like every once in a while. Because I didn't have that many games, so every once in a while I'd be like, let me just put in a game.
Is that an LJN game?
You know what? It's a Tengen game.
Mm.
Yeah. So I don't own it, actually. So I see you looking at my stack.
I was looking for it.
It's one of the few NES games I don't own. Well, obviously, I mean, I own. There's like 600 that I don't own.
You don't own a lot.
But I own a lot, too, though. It's my biggest collection. I have like 120 NES games. But I don't have that one. And, yeah, I mean, they did AVGN did a video on that one. And it's – even he – as a grown man, couldn't figure out what the fuck he was supposed to do or where he could go. So, yeah, that one was tough. I was like, it was not good. Trying to think of some other ones, maybe from the PS1 era or something that I played. I mean, almost all my Friday the 13th I brought up again. That one was like, that's an awful game, and I had that as a kid, and it always seemed to be a running thing where, like, I just couldn't fathom. I didn't realize they were bad games. I was just like, man, it's hard. So,
I mean, come to think of it, especially with the Nintendo era, a lot of those games I would play and just, you just assumed I was terrible.
Right, yeah.
It's like all of those games, like Friday the 13th, which I love that game now, but it's an awful game.
Yeah.
And, but there's plenty of Nintendo games that I couldn't get past, like, the first level. And, yes, I was a terrible gamer, but also you play some of these Nintendo games, and it's just like, how did they expect any kids to get anywhere in these games? And they're clearly designed for kids.
Yeah.
Strategy guides.
I don't even know.
Not in the NES era. The only thing that even sort of existed like that was Nintendo Power.
Sure.
And I was a little kid and poor, so, like, I never even got the full, like, I would get my games as cartridges. So I wouldn't even have the advertisements. I wouldn't even have the advertisements for Nintendo Power. I didn't even know it existed. You know, like, I would get them as hand-me-downs or used or whatever. Right. So I don't know what the hell Nintendo Power is as a little kid, let alone to ask my parents to order it for me.
Sad part is most kids don't know what that is anymore.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, this isn't really a bad game, but it was kind of like one of those things where I was trying to make the best of it because the launch was so bad. But it is a kooky game. I actually do kind of like it, but it's dumb. It was like Feel the Magic.
I love Feel the Magic.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, it's one of my few games that I own, but it was just like, it was at that time, in that era, like, you wouldn't buy Feel the Magic, like, 3 years into the DS lifespan because there's a billion games that you need to get through.
But it was one of the launch titles.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was launch window. I don't know if it came out the day of, but the Wii, I had a bunch of, like, crappy games on the Wii, I think.
Well, I can already think, you and I can probably already think of the same title.
What is it?
I think my mind blocks out the title of that game constantly. Red Steel.
Oh, boy. That was one of the
biggest disappointments.
Man, it looks so cool on the trailers.
Because they made it look so cool, and they, like, flat out
lied. They misled you, yeah.
about how it worked.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe that they got away with that shit back then.
I want to say there might have even been a lawsuit or something.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
That was just... God, because, like, that we were all, like, so high from the Wii when we'd see any advertisements, like, this is going to be the coolest system ever!
Well, the marketing on that thing was insane.
Yeah.
In fact, I might even change my console answer to the Wii because I got cranked so hard on that thing where it was just, like, the trailers at E3 and all everything like that just made it look like it was almost, like, augmented reality, almost. Like, it's like, VR without the helmet, kind of. Like, you're going to be able to move and sword fight, and, like, even in the fucking commercial, like, ducking around and, like, crouching and stuff.
God.
And it's just like, oh, okay. But no, not, it's, you're basically just jerking yourself off with a Wiimote.
I don't know how you play.
I actually, it goes in the other end.
Gotcha. Yeah. So, no, I mean, I really liked the Wii launch. I was really pleased with it, but a lot of it was that I had completely just bought that marketing and just didn't want to accept that it wasn't what they told us what it was going to be. But that was most prevalent with Red Steel. Wii Sports was still was a big blast when we played it for the first time. I remember, like, everybody came over. Like, I basically brought my Wii over to, like, multiple people's houses the day I got it. And was like, check this out. And everybody loved it.
I got another game for you that I had. I forgot. This is another infamously bad one. Mortal Kombat for the Game Boy.
Did you get that, like, as a present?
Yeah, and that game was, like, unplayable.
Yeah.
It was really, really bad. That's another one where I was just like, I wanted to like it so bad because I only got so many games a year or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was just like, oh boy.
It's definitely one of the, stinkers and ports land.
And then obviously I think it's an underrated game now. I think it got a lot of bad flack, but, like, as a little kid it was especially terrible. The original TMNT for NES was, like, impossible for a kid.
Didn't never play that one?
Teenage Mutant
Ninja
Turtles.
Oh, sorry. Yes. You're talking about for NES?
Yeah, the original one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not a bad game.
It's not good. It's just not like
compared to the rest of the library at the time of like of titles like that, like especially licensed titles.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
Yeah, it's just incredibly difficult.
Yeah. Like, I just beating games for me, especially Nintendo games, was just such a rarity that I did.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you would, especially as a kid where you suck at games, you just plug it in, play it for until you get tired of getting your ass kicked and then move on to the next game.
Nintendo games really were like it was touted as like an arcade experience, and like that's really what it was to me as a kid. You just pull it out with your friends and play it, and whoever got the farthest was like, oh yeah, I can get to the fourth level.
Right, exactly. Maybe you get far, maybe you don't.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, I like the only game that I really remember in from the NES era, just like knowing where I was in the game and then knowing that I got far and that I knew what I was doing, was Mario 3.
Well,
everything else was just kind of like a crapshoot of just like, I think I might be good at this game. I don't know how far I am. Maybe there's 5 levels. Maybe there's 10.
Yep.
So
Monster Party, I never even got past the first level.
Yeah.
As a kid. And I loved that game, even though I could never get anywhere in it.
I used to play a lot of Jaws.
Jaws is great. We actually beat that game back then.
Yeah, I've beaten it since, but I didn't, especially as a kid, because it's kind of like open world in a way.
Yeah.
So you don't even, you think you're still like, I don't even know how far I got, because as far as I was concerned, I was still in this first level.
It's just really repetitive. That's why people give it flack, but I think overall as a basic Nintendo game, it's not bad.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, hey, you guys got anything for us else? Anything else? Michael, what do you want to, say anything to the people while you're here?
No, I'm sorry.
There you have it.
All right. Words from a wise man.
No, that's not true at all.
On that note, I'm going to tell you, pipe down, and tell our audience
to please subscribe.
Please subscribe. Please listen to us, and follow us on Twitter at @_GameBoys with a Z. Tweet at us. Leave us a review. Follow us on Stitcher, Podbean, iTunes, Google, Podcast app. Okay? And check us out at Gaming Comic Expo in Miami.
We'll see you there.
We're going to be there.
Probably Bowman, Sunday and Monday.
Bowman's, yeah, it's going to be good. Bowman's paying for the hotel room and everything, so.
Yep, got the first class suite already reserved.
Nice. Yeah, so. On that note, we'll be seeing you next time, guys. Thanks for listening, and we love you.
Say bye-bye, Michael.
No.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.